Blog Talk Radio.
Hi everyone, it's the... Oh. They're crazy about me. Okay. The recruiting animal, back with you again today. Now, you know, I'm going to have to talk over those people. You know, I struggle every week as hard as I can to educate you, my favorite people. Well, thank God. I educate you, my favorite people. Isn't that what I was saying? The recruiting masses. I want you to know what's important. And today, friends, I want to teach you something about community. Because in my opinion, our little community has taken a big turn for the worse. And here's why. You know all the gossip shows on TV, they've got their regulars they can always count on. When you've got a stable of players like Brittany, Paris, Brangelina, Tomcat, Jennifer Aniston, you're always sure there's going to be something worth talking about every day. Brittany shows up with no underwear. She gets drunk. She shaves her head. She goes into rehab and she loses her kids. And if she's not active one day, you got Lindsay Lohan. You know she's going to do something. Well, I used to have my stable too, and I was very happy. But now all the horses seem to have gone out of the barn, and I feel let down by you. Earlier this year, a day couldn't go by without something funny happening to John Jago. Now, all he talks about is the new Jobster application on the Facebook. And to tell you the truth, that's not interesting at all, at least not for this show. Workforce, he was hot for a while, fighting with Don Jago and Papa John, but then Mr. X called his boss, knocked him right out of the ballpark. And speaking of Papa John, that guy stimulated so much hatred when he took over recruiting.com, it was heaven. But now that's gone too. And even JD was fun for a while. He had that battle with Don Jago over recruitingblogs.com, but it was quickly resolved. They kissed and made up, and not that much has happened since. You know, what was the big news in the last few weeks? Harry Joyner got kicked off the Facebook, and SourceCon scheduled its convention on the Rosh Hashanah. You might have thought that last one would have erupted some kind of holy war, but no. Instead, we got the Joe Lieberman of the Recruitosphere explaining it away as an oversight. Don't worry, kids, won't happen again. And that's it. So I'm kind of wondering, what's with this community? No one's acting up. No one's getting fired. And I don't know how much longer we're going to last if people don't get their basic need for excitement met here. They're soon going to start going somewhere else. I really believe it. So really, friends, I'm worried the party might be over, but in the meantime, you can still find someone trying to stir up the pot, and you know that's me, the recruiting animal. And now, live from Toronto, this is the Recruiting Animal Show!
The werewolf is neither man nor wolf, but a satanic creature with the worst qualities of both. And do you expect me to believe that a man so afflicted actually becomes a wolf under the influence of the full moon? I'm afraid, sir, that I gave up my belief in goblins, witches, personal devils, and werewolves at the age of six.
At the age of six. Now, you know what? I just found something out just before we came on the air that kind of contradicted what I just said. The Gen Y princess has launched an attack on me, the recruiting animal, at modite.com. She thinks she's striking back. So there might be a little action coming up this week, but right now I want to get to our guest. We have a guest today who is a woman who literally swims with the sharks. I'm not kidding. She's only 5'4", and this guy she was working with sent her underwater to test a shark repellent that didn't work, and then she married him. I think they made a movie about that. It's called Sleeping with the Enemy. She is no ordinary babe, that is for sure. She's been in the movie business, the record business, the shark business, and now she's a not-so-secret investigator in the world of competitive intelligence. Susie Tanini, come on down!
Hey.
Are you there? Are you there?
Animal. Yeah.
Louder, please. Come on, you're the guest.
Can you hear me now?
I can kind of hear you. Can everybody else hear her?
I can hear her.
Okay. Yeah, can you hear her loud?
Can you hear me loud and clear?
Can you give me an S? Yeah. Anyway, okay, let's go on. But everybody, speak up if you can't hear Susie.
Now, Susie, I can hear her.
Susie, oh, thanks, Maureen. Okay, now, Susie, did not want to sing a song, but there are so many Susie songs that I really can't resist at least reading the lyrics from one of them.
Now, why don't you sing it, Michael?
What?
You're such a good singer.
Okay, well, maybe I will. I'll see. I just want to do my intro, and I'll see how I feel when I get to it. Now, Susie, I want to just give her a guess, though, a chance. Do you know which song I'm going to sing?
Suzanne by Leonard Cohen.
No.
Wake Up Little Susie?
No.
Crocodile Rock?
Hey, you know, I didn't even think of that. I'm going to sing Taxi.
Taxi?
I used to be a taxi driver. It's in my it's my about page.
Okay.
And she said, "How are you, Harry?" And I said, "How are you, Sue?" Through the too many miles and the too little smiles, I still remember you. Don't you know it? Maureen knows it.
I don't know it.
You don't know it?
No.
Maybe you know it,
maybe.
You just didn't recognize it. Anyway, come on, let's move on. I'm in charge. Okay, Susie.
Yes.
Anyone who has seen your picture on your website knows that you have kind of an impish smile. Isn't that true?
Sure, if you want to call it impish.
Well, come on. Anybody agree with me? Who's seen that picture?
It's the only picture out there.
She's got an impish smile.
Oh, that's a cute
and in the background,
right,
just to prove it, there's some kind of hapless dope there with a cooking apron on. That's not your husband by any chance, is it?
No. That is a fishmonger from Seattle Pike Place Fish Market.
But it looks like you just cheated him or something. He's got his mouth wide open, and you got this little smile looking at the camera. I screwed him. What happened in that picture? What's going on?
I have no idea. I thought the whole scene was fun, so that's why I look like
that. Are you some specially wily kind of person?
No, not really. Why?
You don't think so, eh? Okay.
No.
Okay. But I do have another question. I have to forgive you. Actually, I want you to forgive me for asking it. And that's another song. Susan. Anyway, I won't go into it. But anyway, it looks to me, like reading your profile, that you don't seem like you're 100% American to me. Number one, you speak a lot of foreign languages. Number two, you barely lived in the United States when you were growing up. So I'm wondering, are you some kind of rootless cosmopolitan that ordinary people should be afraid of?
Well, first off, I don't know what your definition of American is, because that's, you know, there's quite a bit of different...
I can't hear you, Susie.
I don't know what your definition of American is, since we have quite a bit of ethnicities here in the United States. But
yes, I wasn't talking about your ethnicity.
Okay. Well, I grew up overseas because my dad was actually working for the U.S. Embassy overseas. So I got to go to American schools overseas, but also grew
up... Is his name Joe Wilson?
What's that?
Is his name Joe Wilson?
No, his name is Frank Tonini.
Okay. Your mom's not Valerie Plame either, eh?
No.
Okay. Susie, come on. Let's get right into the dirty stuff.
Okay.
I don't mean your sex life. I want to know what's controversial in your industry. If I was going to ask you something right now that would make a lot of people out there want to smash your computers, what would it be?
You know, I was thinking about that, and I really don't see any huge controversies in the internet research business. However, I know that there is a little bit of rivalry between phone sourcing folks and internet research sourcing folks.
What do you mean by that?
Because they're two separate entities. One is secondary research, which is internet research.
No, come right to the point, Susie. Come on, don't duck the question.
And then you have people like Maureen Shareeb, who is excellent at what she does.
Yeah.
She is great at obtaining information through the phone.
Yeah, but what's the fight about? Okay, I know what a telephone sorcerer is, and I spoke to Jeremy Langlands last week.
Right.
I know what an internet sorcerer does. What is the fight about? Like, which is better? Is that it?
Well, there's no who's better. Each you know, profession is valid in its own right. So those people that do both, I think, are... probably, you know, the most well-rounded.
Maureen, does that sound like a controversy to you? Each is valid in its own right?
Okay, I'll move on.
Listen, let's get right down to the nitty-gritty of what you do on a daily basis. What was your best search? Tell us what you did that you're most proud of.
Oh, well, I can't think of one exact search, but my favorite searches would be the ones that are almost effortless. For example, I find someone on LinkedIn, I send them a networking query, they respond favorably, I send them on to the source.
That's nothing. A sissy could do that.
Well, wait, he, she gets a hold of them, and they schedule an interview all within 15 minutes.
Okay, okay. What's the most challenging search that you've ever succeeded at?
Well, looking for Sarah's boss and looking for...
No, 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 that was the contest. I'm talking about your search. I'll get to the contest. Don't worry about that.
Well,
you don't lead this interview.
In the beginning, when I first started this business, I was asked to find a C-level candidate that had to be female and either Hispanic or African-American. And I was like, okay, where do I start?
Is that legal?
I don't know, but I know what it, there's people that ask for that specific kind of profile.
Okay.
So I didn't know what to do. I was like, all right, let me go out and ask the diversity recruiters, what do I do? And so I learned, for example, to look in...
Whose phone is going? Come on, this is a show here. Susie, you have to shout over the phone. Sorry.
I learned to look in specific areas like South Florida and the Southwest where there are large Hispanic presences, and also typing in phrases like she works at or she said in search engines.
What does that mean?
Anyway,
like, what does that mean? I don't understand that at all. You put the words she said into
phrase.
Google.
Uh-huh.
And why is that? What was that going to render for you?
Well, it's going to render somebody who's been quoted either at a trade show or conference or whatever, anywhere, and you know it's a female. Okay?
Oh, really?
So.
You mean that's going to show, if you've spoken somewhere and you put in she said, it might indicate that. But aren't you going to get a lot of garbage as well in a search?
Well, no,
that's
obviously I had another, set of keywords, but that was, kind of narrowing it down to the female aspect of things. And then,
I see,
at association.
So that was just one of a whole set of a string or something like that.
Yeah.
Is that it?
Yeah. And
okay.
That had to be my worst search because I really was like, gosh, first off, I don't like to have to, pigeonhole candidates like this, but that was what the client wanted. But so anyway, I learned a lot.
What did you learn?
I learned how to find these people, and I also learned that...
So what did you learn about how to find them? I don't get it.
Well, I learned that Hispanic presences, for example, are in the Southwest and South
Florida. That's a big surprise, eh?
Well,
you didn't know that to begin with?
I did, but I didn't think of, okay, that's what I should target versus, New York City or whatever.
Okay.
But, and then, of course, asking your peers versus reinventing the wheel, I think, is really important. I said, all right, I'm going to look at all the diversity recruiters that are on ERE and ask them the questions.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I didn't.
What did you approach them directly, or did you go through some kind of discussion group?
I emailed them all.
Oh, really? Congratulations! Good for you.
Thank you.
And they helped you.
Oh, they sure did. They gave me all kinds of advice.
And so, did you actually find someone for that search?
I did. Yep.
And do you? Let me ask you right now. Do you like Jeremy, for instance, and Mike Natero, not Amy Beth, when they do a search on the internet and they find clues? They follow it up with a phone call to confirm that they're on the right track. Do you do that, or do you immediately hand it off to someone else?
I will have the initial email correspondence with the candidate, and if the candidate is favorable and wants to pursue a conversation, then I email them back and say, okay, I'm sending your note off to the person in charge.
I don't like to be too controversial, believe it or not, but in this case, you had to ask someone what their complexion looked like, right? Did you ask straight out?
Oh, in that hard challenge? I mean, that hard to, yeah. Well, no, I didn't.
You didn't?
No.
How did you find out? How did you know if you're on the right track?
Well, that's the whole thing. You look at associations, for example, the National Association of Black Accountants, or, there's all kinds of associations that are specific to ethnicity.
I see.
That helps. It helps.
I see. Okay, so if I want someone to find me, I might join some associations that would sort of identify my specific, most salient characteristics, right? Association of Recruiting Radio Hosts, for instance.
Well, there you go. Yeah,
okay, let's move on. What was your worst search? What was the search you failed at? Are you willing to discuss that with us here now?
I did dabble in some phone sourcing, which I was terrible at, so I just...
Why were you terrible at it? Because you didn't have Maureen teaching you?
No, I have. I actually have followed Maureen since the very beginning, and I have her sourcing in the magic. Is that what it is, Maureen? Sourcing in the
method?
No, the method
magic
in the
method.
Yeah, yeah. I have that document, and I'm just not that kind of, you know, I just am not.
You're not that much. You're into competitive intelligence, but you're not that much of a spy mentality. Is that it?
I'm not primary research. I'm secondary research. I love that, and that's online.
You know what? I would have thought you were so supremely gutsy, you know, going down there with those sharks and all that kind of stuff, that you could do anything.
Well, when it comes to people, that's a different story.
Oh, you mean you're like a techie is not afraid of things, but they're very shy of people. You're not afraid of animals,
right.
Vicious ones, but
exactly.
People are another story. Is that it?
Yeah.
I'm just trying to understand your psychology. What kind of person are you?
I'm not an A personality.
You're not an A personality?
No. Mm-mm.
What kind of personality are you? What letter would be appropriate?
B.
C?
B as in boy.
What does that stand for?
Oh, more... Not as outgoing or not as gregarious as an A personality. A personalities always have to, you know, pretty much make sure that everybody's paying attention to them and they're very impulsive. And,
okay, so you're an introvert. Is that what you're saying?
I'm more of an introvert.
I want you to force yourself to push those extroverted qualities that you must have to some extent into this show, okay?
Okay, sure.
Now, here's something that really caught my attention.
Mm.
Do you want to say anything to me before I move on?
No, go ahead.
Success rate. You say that you sourced candidates at one of your jobs, sourced candidates from the Internet, resulting in placements and revenues worth over $420,000 U.S. in a little over a year. I'm choking on that. I can't believe it.
Okay, let me explain that one. That was in the good old days before the dot-com bust.
Uh-huh.
We were, the company I was working for, I had 42% fees.
I'm sorry, I can't hear you?
The company I was working with charged 42% placement fees.
You're kidding!
Yeah, so it was great, right? So anyway, and at the time, back in 99, 2000, you could find a lot more stuff on the Internet, company directories. And that was before, you know, companies got savvy and started putting firewalls around. So
oh, really?
Very,
okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was very easy to find.
So that was the heyday of Internet sourcing. Even though there were fewer people on the Internet at that time, people were much more lax with information. Is that what you're saying?
I believe so. And I was looking for IT people to begin with.
Is
so
somebody else talking here?
I think it sounds like somebody else.
Okay. Don't interrupt Susie. After. Yeah, everyone's welcome to talk. Just take your turn. Okay, so let's say I hired you.
Mm.
You know, let's say a sole practitioner or a small company, and they hire somebody like you, okay?
Mm.
What can they expect you to bring them in revenues a year? And let's not say 40% fees. Let's say 20% fees.
Well, let's see. I don't know about that because right now I am working for a...
worldwide professional services company. It sounds like Uncle, doesn't it?
Yeah.
The Girl from Uncle?
Yeah.
You go to work, you go down into a little tailor shop, you go into the back room, you know, where the fitting rooms, and you don't come out till 5 o'clock, right?
Yeah,
there's
well,
a back door there. Okay, but what were you going to say?
So right now, I don't know what my success rate is because I'm supporting a lot of different areas.
Yeah.
And we have a new tracking system in place.
You have a new tracking system in place?
Yeah, it's kind of a new...
Please, you're going to have to shout. I don't know, for some reason, maybe you're too far away. I can't hear you.
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you, but I have to struggle.
I'm sorry. Anyway, we have a new tracking system in place which will give me some metrics as to what my success rate is. So I can't really tell you, and... I'll let you know at another time.
Okay, now let's take another angle at that same one. Jeremy said, and Mike Notaro agreed, he concurred, that those guys are really focused on IT people, it sounded like to me, because those are the people who utilize the Internet most in terms of posting their profiles. They are more Internet savvy than the average person. And I claimed that the kind of people I'm looking for don't even know about LinkedIn. They don't have profiles. They don't speak at conventions, most of them. So they're impossible to find online. You seem to indicate, however, that you look for a wide range of people. Is that true, yes or no?
That's correct.
Now tell us some of those people.
Well, what I've searched for in the past, I've done everything from, you know, CCIE.
I don't know.
CCIE, network engineers, security software sales.
Network engineers, software salespeople.
Security software sales, yep.
Uh-huh.
HR managers, VP of sales, CEOs, multimedia engineers, structural engineers, and here's the
engineers. Structural engineers?
Uh-huh.
Okay, now let's take an example there, a structural engineer. Are we talking a manager, a vice president, or just an ordinary journeyman?
Oh, no, not ordinary journeyman. It was more manager and up-level.
Okay, so like, where would you find that kind of person listed? That's what I'm curious about. And would you have been able to find someone who was just, let's say, design engineer without anything special about them?
Well, I can always look on associations, for example, because everybody's, you know, a member or a chapter. I mean,
uh-huh.
Not everybody. But in what I do is I'll just start networking with people within these associations saying, hey, do you know of people? Where can I find these people? So I'm always reaching
there's
out.
There's a hospital, there's an ambulance going by. Listen, so
yes. You
correspond with these people strictly by email?
Yep, most of the time. I'll talk to them on the phone every now
and then. Oh, you will as well?
Yeah.
But
call me or
you get
whatever.
Most of your responses by email. You're a stranger contacting someone out of
yep.
the blue whom you located online, and they'll reply to you. Is that true?
Most of the time, yeah, 90%, sure.
Really? Okay. And so it sounds like a lot of your work is going through these online directories, yes or no?
Yes.
Okay.
And also, a lot of people now, even if they're not internet savvy, they still want to share their pictures with their families. You know, I mean, there's people that are somewhat online.
Well, you tell me how that helps you.
Well, there could be some clues, you know. So and so is sharing pictures and lives in, you know, St. Louis, Missouri, and works for, you know, whatever a company.
Give me an example. Are you speaking from experience that has led you to a placement?
Sure, sure. Like this site that was on the SourceCon challenge called Flickr.
Flickr, yes.
Yeah, I mean, some people post a little bit more on their profiles than others.
And you've identified people, candidates from Flickr. You know, a guy showing off his babies or something like that, and he also happens to list his title and employer?
I don't recall if it was specifically Flickr. It could have been a homepage or something. Yes, I have. And that's another thing. People have, you know, little homepages where they can share wedding pictures. And so, you know, somewhat online. They don't have to be, like, all over the place like I am. But a lot of people are, you know, older people as well are adopting the Internet to just,
okay, well, here's an example. You said you go onto a social network called Mingle.
Mm-hmm.
Really sounds more social than business. And
yeah.
You are willing to, you were interested in finding tax and audit personnel there. Do I understand you correctly on that?
Yeah, and that was probably not a good place to put that because Mingle is, I do know why I did that because Mingle is a site where it's a local site. So people that want to go to certain bars or restaurants or events, they will post whatever on there. So I was trying to see if maybe there were some tax and audit folks that were.
Now, you know what? I search for audit people extensively,
mm-hmm.
and I have very little success finding huge numbers of audit people online.
Online, yeah. I've heard that the best is to physically network. I mean, I can't do it from where I am because I'm in Central Oregon, so I don't have, you know, the capability of physically going to events, you know, and chapter events. But if I were to live in a big city, I would do that. I would actually, you know, to get to know people and find more people.
Yeah, really? Okay. Very interesting. Okay, now, you're in a small town called Bend, Oregon,
yep.
B-E-N-D. Yep. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Is that near a city of any sort?
Nope, I'm 3.5 hours from Portland, which is the biggest city.
Yeah, and why did they call it Bend? Is there a bend in the river there?
There is a bend in the river, yes.
That's it? How many people live in Bend?
Bend is growing exponentially, unfortunately. There's
why?
Over 100, because it's a great place to live. The weather's great. There's a lot of outdoor sports and recreation possibilities.
How do people find out about it?
I don't know. People in California sure found out about it, though, and the prices are going up like crazy. And
uh-huh.
Everything's...
Okay,
yeah.
But what the point I was getting at, that somebody like yourself could work from Tierra del Fuego or somewhere like that, any place.
I could. That's exactly right. If you have a broadband internet connection, I could work anywhere.
Okay, now I'm just going to give a chance to anybody who wants to ask you a question. Anybody interested in a question to our friend Susie? I think Harry's just come on. Harry, do you have a question for Susie?
No, I just got here, literally. I was on a client call. I'm so
oh, yeah.
sorry I'm
too
late.
Busy for Susie. Okay.
No, I wouldn't say to... Hi, Susie. How's it going?
Hi, Harry. I'm well, thank you. How are you?
I'm good.
Okay, enough
good.
Of that.
What did you guys talk about while I was gone?
You listen to what comes up. I don't have to review it for you. We haven't talked about that much yet. Have we, Susie? Have I missed something that you think I should have got to right away?
No, I think you've been doing a good job here.
Oh, you think so, eh?
I think so, yeah.
Okay, well.
Is my colleague Amy Beth on here on the line?
Amy Beth, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hi.
But this isn't a coffee clutch. I mean, is there something specific you want from Amy Beth?
Amy Beth is a peer of mine.
Yes.
And she and I see quite eye to eye.
Please, Susie. What's the point? What do you, Amy? Is there something that Susie wants from you that she's afraid to tell
me? Susie, this is the way Michael is. Don't get offended. He's incorrigible. I'm trying to learn him better, but he takes
learn him better.
He takes
actually. I came on here because I'm excited for Susie, number one, for winning the SourceCon competition because we'll get a chance to meet in Atlanta. But this is also very interesting to me because our industry is primarily dominated by men.
Yes.
So it's nice to have some ladies who are really
okay. There's a question
now
for you. Is there anything gender specific about internet sourcing? Are guys like Mike and Jeremy, is their testosterone helping them, find people, or do you guys with your estrogen have an advantage? Or is there nothing to the gender issue?
That's a good question.
Well, we'll have to think about it while I'm going. Amy, do you have an immediate answer? We got an audience here. You got to remember that. It's not just us four people. Okay, next. Yes?
No, I was just going to say it's nothing that, that men are better at this than women or anything like that, and I'm not going to go off, on any kind of a feminist rant or anything like that, but it's just it's the way that things have been.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, recruiting too in general. A lot more recruiters out there that are men than
is that
women.
True? I don't know. Okay, next question. Amy, take a back seat for a second. Susie, you're up on the hot seat again.
Uh-huh.
Did you have a breather there?
I did.
Evaluate recruiting technologies. That is one of your job functions, and you've given us a huge list. I'm going to read through them. Hire Desk, Job Machine, EmployOn, InfoGist, Your Job Searcher, eQuest, True Advantage, Vacancy Watch, CBiz, Silicon Valley Link, and Resume Mirror. Are those all software products?
Okay, let me explain that. You have to remember, you've taken all my information pretty much from my LinkedIn profile, I believe.
Oh, no, I took it out. That's another question we'll come to. You're all over the Internet, and I took that from your Zicky.com profile, and they're pretty much all the same.
Okay, and I have when I put those companies up there, that was when I had my own companies. It's not reflecting what I'm doing right now.
Uh-huh.
A lot of these companies don't even exist anymore. Anyway, but long story, but my partner and I, we had created an ultimate job seeking and recruitment software called CareerIdex, which still hasn't seen the light of day due to funding.
Uh-huh.
And we partnered with all these companies to give the job seeker like a major edge in networking with folks, tracking applicants, setting up a recruiter network, and much, much more.
Uh-huh.
Kind of like what JibberJobber does, but on
uh-huh.
steroids. And that was before the social network, so everything needs to be retooled. Anyway, I'm always interested in learning about new tools and technology.
And so you know the technology from a user point of view. You're not a techie yourself, is that right? Are you a programmer?
No, I am not a programmer.
Okay, but maybe you're a designer. You come up with a concept and have someone else design it for you. Is that true?
No. I will look at various technologies and see how they would integrate into this tool that I'm called CareerIdex.
Okay.
Let's
talk about the technologies, though. Do you use any technologies? Amy Beth told us last week that a product like BroadLook, its advantage is that it really speeds up the process. It essentially just automates something that she would do on Google herself to some extent. Do you agree with her on that?
Yeah, I do use various technologies, although I'm not allowed to say which ones.
Okay.
So, there are some tools like BroadLook that do help out, immensely, actually, especially if you have a lot of searches and you just don't have the time to.
Okay, but the key is not that they can find more people than you can on your own, but they'll do a lot of the tedious heavy lifting for you. Is that it?
You can, do some overnight searches. Next morning, you have new results in your inbox, or not in your inbox, but on the software itself.
Amy Beth, do you agree with her on that? Amy Beth, do you agree with her?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Yeah, no, it's.
Why are you not able to share what software tools you use? Is that just the competitive advantage and their competitive considerations?
I would think so. That's what the only restriction I had on coming on the show from my company.
Harry, she's with a worldwide professional services firm that everyone knows.
Sure.
And they
right.
can't, you know, be seen endorsing someone's specific product.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
Okay. Do you have anything else to ask her before I move on?
Yeah, sure. May I?
Yep.
Since I got Amy Beth and Maureen here, if I may.
Go ahead.
Rate the effectiveness on a scale of 1 to 10 Platinum Recruiter InfoGist.
They just said they can't do that.
No, I'm not saying endorse it or not. I'm just saying rate the effectiveness of it. Maybe you have it, maybe you don't.
I'm familiar with it. So I say I would give it a nice 9.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. What about Broadlux Eclipse?
I would say 7 for me.
I give that a 10.
Pretty hard to learn.
You want a 10, yeah. Well,
I give that a 10.
Okay.
Who is that, Amy Beth?
That's yes. Amy Beth.
Yeah. What about Market Mapper? I know Shally uses Market Mapper, and he seems to like it, right?
I have not used Market Mapper. I will have to try it.
It's another Broadlook product.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's right. It is Broadlook.
All the Broadlook products are they're really good, but they're really, you know, the learning curve is really high. Would everybody agree with that?
I agree.
Amy?
You've got to take the time to learn it. Yeah, I mean, if you don't take the time to learn it, it's going to be useless to you. But if you take the time to learn it, it's a very valuable tool.
So I don't know how many people are on the call, but I'm curious because this is we're coming into the end of the year, and I'm evaluating sourcing options for next year. And one of the things that it's hard for me to really appreciate the difference between Talent Hook and InfoGist. Does anybody here have a preference, and you want to speak freely about the difference between those two products?
I've used both. I like both. I think that InfoGist is just a little bit more robust, more features, and I just like InfoGist better. But TalentHook is a great product, too, and I believe the price range is about the same, so it doesn't...
Doesn't TalentHook integrate with Sendouts and MaxHire and some other ATSs, and does that make it more useful?
I believe so, but I think InfoGist does too. So I don't know. You'd have to go back to their customer service because I haven't looked at TalentHook in a long time.
Mm-hmm. Just curious.
Ron Crompton at InfoGist he's very, very helpful.
Hmm. Okay.
Now,
Harry,
yeah.
This is Maureen. Why don't you ask that question, like over on LinkedIn? You'll probably get a lot of answers.
Will
ask it in the techno. Oh no, probably ask it in the HR group.
I will. I definitely will. Everybody seems like they love what they're using.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like it's hard to get objective feedback, you know, somebody who's really kicked the tires of all the disparate solutions and says, okay, you know, on a scale of 1 to 10, you know, these are the three things that work best for me. We use InfoGist, and we really, really like it, but we've heard wonderful things about TalentHook, and supposedly TalentHook has integration advantages that InfoGist doesn't have, but the people at InfoGist say that they're going to address the integration issues, so...
Well, you know, we've got the CEO of Broadlook coming on. I don't think he'll talk necessarily about other technologies, but maybe he can be the first of many, and you'll have your opportunity then. I'm going to return to my questions now.
Okay.
Susie? Harry, you're welcome to come back.
Okay.
Susie,
yeah.
You started out in market research. Am I correct?
Yes.
That's how you became a researcher. Am I right?
I became a researcher actually when my first job was at the New York Times back in Paris in 1985 or 87, I can't remember. Anyway,
I told you she was cosmopolitan. Go on.
And what I was tasked with was, and this is like before computers or anything, obviously, I had to go to the kiosk and get all the newspapers and, you know, look through the newspapers, cut out articles that might be of interest for future stories and put them in a repository. So... That was
you were like a clippings expert.
I was, yeah, exactly.
Okay.
But it was the bureau chief said, okay, I got to do a story on this. Find me all the information that we have on that. I knew where to go get it.
Yeah.
So, you know, and this was like, you know, paper
uh-huh.
folders. So it was
yeah.
really funny. But, that's kind of how I started.
Okay.
And then all my jobs really have always entailed me organizing, finding things, making sure everything is put together, the pieces of the puzzles are all together, whether it's budgets or...
Okay, but how did these things qualify you to be an Internet sourcer? How did you become an Internet sourcer?
I'm self-taught, and I'm an Internet researcher, not an Internet sourcer.
What's the difference?
Well, sourcing implies, like Jeremy and Mike, Mike Notaro and Jeremy Lyons, you know, getting on the phone and using the Internet, right?
Oh, really?
Well, didn't your buddy Bill Vick tell you that?
No.
The other day when you came
Bill
to
Vick?
Toronto?
Bill Vick was here in April, and we didn't talk about that I recall. But anyway, let's put that to the side. I'll call you a researcher now, and somehow you learned on your own. Or is there something that, like, how did you get into it? I just don't understand. You were at this shark company, right?
Oh,
Shark
well,
Pod.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Shark Pod.
And then you became an Internet sourcer.
Yeah. The minute the Internet came available, I kind of started poking around in there and looking at stuff and getting really interested. And, of course, I've blogged about this. We were involved in a treasure hunting operation off the coast of Venezuela, and I found out through some chat rooms back in the day, in 97 or 96, I think it was, that these guys that were hired were actually, they had hidden agendas. They were looking for something else, and they were scamming the investor. So I told the investor, and he flew me up and canceled the operation and basically stopped the whole scam. And
yeah.
That's how I first started.
That's a fascinating story.
Yeah. Great.
Yeah, it's
yeah.
fun.
So you're a whistleblower, right?
Whistleblower, yep.
And how does that qualify you to be an Internet researcher?
It doesn't.
How did you be so? You're just someone who likes, you know, fiddling around with AltaVista or Yahoo and Boolean strings, you know, really get you excited. Is that how it happened? I'm just trying to figure it out.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I like ferreting. And then, of course.
Well, what was the treasure hunting part?
Later on. Later
well,
on.
This is parcel, part and parcel, too.
I don't think so. Nope. Doesn't sound
it
like
is,
to
It is, Michael.
Me. Okay,
wait,
go ahead.
What?
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Yeah, what about the treasure hunting part?
Which part?
What were you doing there as a treasure? Were you actually working as a treasure hunter?
Oh, okay. Well, since we were involved with the shark, I was living in Miami, and I did a lot of diving with my husband and my husband-to-be, whatever. And he had been involved with treasure hunts in the past, and we had these shark-repelling devices.
Yeah, no. Here's what her point is. She thinks the treasure hunting spirit is what you carried into or carried you into Internet
exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Is that true? Yes or no? Let's be done
with
that.
That's a good point. I never put that two and two together, treasure hunting and going on the Internet and finding nuggets.
There you go, Maureen. That's the answer.
That's the answer.
I'm moving on.
Good point.
I'm moving on. You say you perform competitive intelligence, or you did perhaps in one of your other positions. What does that mean exactly?
I still do. Well, what that means, it's kind of fancy, but if I find information that relates to our competitors out there or
Of information?
Well, it could be, you know, there's reorgs or layoffs or rumors of this and that, and that could be on Yahoo groups or Vault.com is fun to listen to all the employees rant and rave
Did
about.
Did you ever see 3 Days of the Condor with Robert Redford?
Uh-huh.
This reminds me of that. Did anybody else see it? The guy just reads books for the CIA in an office in Washington or New York. I can't remember where it was. And one day everybody, you know, some guys come in and shoot everybody there. All they're doing is studying information, just like you. It sounds kind of suspicious to me. But anyway, let's move on. Cutting-edge research and information strategies. That's what you're involved in. Is that true?
Well, yeah. It encompasses pretty much what I do on a daily basis.
So what does that mean? Like you're using those advanced technologies? Or are those the cutting-edge information strategies that you're referring to?
Well, ideal in finding, processing, and verifying information of all sorts, right?
Yeah, but what's cutting edge about it?
And then, whether it's current trends, new tools, passive and active candidates, tracking blogs, groups, competitive intelligence, it's cutting edge in this because I want to stay ahead of the curve every time.
What curve?
So I try to be as up to date with what's going on before everybody else is.
Okay, so you know about finding people on blogs or someplace before other people, is that right?
Oh yeah. Well, I don't know if before other people, but I know where to find them.
Okay, sure. You're not left behind at least. That's what you mean.
No.
Okay.
Michael, it's kind of like market research meets business development meets mergers and acquisitions meets staffing.
Okay.
It is. It's all those things blended together.
Well, Maureen, maybe you want to answer this question as well. She says one of her core skills is deep web research. What does that mean?
Let her answer that.
Deep. Deep. web.
Deep
maybe
web.
That's a treasure hunt, Maureen. Deep
it could
web.
Could be deep,
research.
As in deep diving.
Yeah.
As in deep diving. Well, it's deep web is like the hidden web. Basically, there's a lot of personal profiles, public records, and other people-related documents that are stored in databases.
Yeah.
And they're not on static web pages, so a lot of the higher quality information about people is invisible to a regular.
What does that mean? Come on, now we're at something exciting.
So, for example, our SourceCon challenge number 3
yeah.
brought up a very good point. It said, Sarah does not like to network in public places, right? And what that meant is, it turned out that a major part of the search, Flickr, is one of those sites that search engines miss and it's classified as a deep website. So also Amazon.com, Hoover's are all deep websites. So,
you understand that, Michael?
Pardon me?
Do you understand that?
No, I don't.
Google, do you have to register
okay.
and log in
oh, I see. Okay,
to get to the information? And
yeah,
Google
but I mean, like
can't.
Hoovers.com, for instance, is very well known. I mean, all you have to do is they have free service and you can pay a fee
right.
and go deep, but Google won't give you that information.
You can't go that deep. You can only go maybe 10 results deep on their free
exactly.
service.
Uh-huh.
But
okay.
that's what's called the deep web. I mean, there's and it's people repositories for the most part. And then and there is a new search engine, which is called PIPL.com, people.com,
yeah.
and it's designed to retrieve information in real time from the deep web. And anyway,
is that legal? Because that's proprietary information, isn't it?
From they're well, they're looking within searchable databases and from personal profiles, member directories, scientific publications.
Isn't that
records.
What BroadLook pulls up?
BroadLook, yeah, to an extent. Mm-hmm.
To an extent, where does it fall short?
You know, I don't know. I'm not super duper happy with this.
On BroadLook?
Sorry.
You're not super duper happy?
I guess maybe I need a refresher course on
yes,
it.
Yes, that's what BroadLook does.
Want to ask Amy that question? Amy Beth, you want to come?
Yeah,
to the
Amy.
Floor?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what Eclipse does. What they do the Eclipse, what it does is it goes beyond, you know, like the surfacey layer of the Internet there and goes into what Susie's talking about with the deep web. It's any page where you have to actually click submit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or search, you know, to get more information. And that's what BroadLook does is it goes in and
so,
extracts
so
it.
So Hoover's is a site that you really have to pay to have full use of, but these circumvent the payment. Is that true or false?
No,
they don't. You have to have access. I mean, it's not a hacking
okay,
type of
Okay, you have
technology.
To have access first, but then it'll speed up the search.
Michael,
for
Hoover's
you.
Is basically a business information service, something like
BroadLook
is a tool.
It's a database.
They would not agree with that.
I would. Would anybody disagree with me?
No, Hoover's, I think what Michael's saying is Hoover's is a database.
Hoover's
right?
is a database.
But
correct.
No, BroadLook is a software application.
Yeah,
exactly.
BroadLook goes in and scoops everything out for you very quickly. Overnight, for instance, as Amy Beth gave an example before, you don't have to do it number by or, you know, step by step. Now I'm going to move on. Now, complex Boolean search strings. How did you get into that? I mean, you said you are self-taught, so this is something you must have taught yourself. Am I right about that?
Correct. I've been actually following Shally since 1999 and all his job machine little toolkits that, you know.
How did you find out about Shally?
How did I find it? Well, because I started doing internet research for Management Recruiters International, which is how I started the recruiting side of research, and he was out there already. So I've been following him since 1999.
Yeah, and so you learned that from him?
Yeah, him, and there was a couple of other folks. Also, Glenn's been around as long. I had a couple AIRS books given to me, but I never took an AIRS course.
Uh-huh. Okay, so, you know, something that was really big around that time was flip searching, and you list that as one of the things in your resume
mm-hmm.
that you do. I thought
yeah.
that was really old hat, all these back routes into websites.
X-raying, peeling, yeah. I have that on my resume because, yeah.
Is it old hat? You can't get in anymore. Is that right? You can't get into those databases on websites by those old simple means. Is
well,
that true?
No, not it's not. Yeah, those were the good old days, as I said.
Okay, good old days. Now, X-raying, what's that?
Basically, yeah, you type in, like, host, colon, company name and, you know, like a search term like business development or whatever, and it would reveal pages and sites with leads on key business development employees in that organization, for example.
So it goes into pages on a website that are not public. Is that what you're saying?
that aren't directly accessible via links on the main public homepage, yes.
Okay. Is this interesting to the other people? It's interesting to me. I'm not sure. Anyone can say, hey, I don't want to talk about this.
It's nothing new here. I mean,
okay, well, I don't know. I'm not an internet sorcerer. I'm not like in your league, okay?
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
Okay, now peeling.
Be nice, Michael.
Peeling. You know what? There's just people telling me I have to be tougher with these guests. And now Susie's real nice. I even sang to her, right? But I want to know. I want the goods. I want it up front. What's peeling? Is that strip teasing or something?
It would be fun.
It might have been one of your earlier careers. You've done everything.
Well, yeah. I'd have to show you. Anyway, for example, embedded inside many long web addresses, are links to staff directories or contact lists.
You're kidding.
And, basically, if you have, you've seen, a company name and then /... something else. You keep peeling back, getting rid of.
Oh, okay, I know what it is. It's just cutting. It's cutting back the different files on a long URL. Is that right?
Yeah, and you can possibly find some nuggets there.
Okay. You know, once last year, I myself was searching for. Let me see, IT managers who are working in municipalities, and there's an association somewhere in Canada that of these guys. They're city employees and they're IT managers for those cities. And it was $300 to join, and I didn't really know if the information was going to be worthwhile for me. And in the course of a Google search, I came to a link that took me right into their database through what I would call a back door. Is that something you look for on a regular basis or that I might look for? Is it just a fluke that it happened to me?
It's both. I mean, sometimes I find things that are flukes, and I'm like, yes. And sometimes I'm actually, trying to find that specific.
How do they leave that open? What happens in a case like that? And how do you find it? How do you check and see if such a thing exists?
As I said, it depends. But I've found, employee or new hire employee sites for one of our competitors, which, gave all the information on what they had to do and the paperwork and everything. And I showed this to my company, and they're like, well, they're a dumb company because I should not have been able to get into their corporate intranet. And so it depends. I don't know. There's really no secret sauce to that as far as I'm concerned, unless anybody else has.
So you're saying it's a mistake on their part that they left their door open and you just happened to walk through it?
I would think so.
Right.
I mean, it was pretty.
It's not intentional. You're not intentionally trying to find.
Okay.
No,
now, you also indicate that you go to news groups, discussion groups, just like Jeremy and Mike said, and you look for people there. What percentage of the people you're looking for are on these discussion groups online?
It would seem
to be, for these techies, I would say it sounded like half the people are there. Is that right?
Yeah. Well, for techies, sure. Yeah, because they like to sit there and just. Back and forth.
And do they start protecting themselves from internet sorcerers, or are they happy to have you guys find them?
I have been, in the early days of me reaching out to everybody when I should have known better, when your IP address was divulged the minute you emailed people, I got flamed, in a big way. Stop, mass emailing everybody on this group, and I said, hey, listen, I'm just trying to fill a position and, possibly give somebody a job,
Yeah.
Anyway. So I kind of killed them with kindness, but I learned not to do that because there's a footprint on these groups, whatever it is you post out there, and some of these guys do not like to be approached that way. And I don't know why.
How do you approach them? How do you get to them then if you can't email them?
They'll get back to you when they feel like it, I mean, they're kind of hardcore. not easy folks.
They're B-type personalities.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Susie,
now,
would you agree that the ones who put their name and their title and their telephone number and their cell phone and their fax and their all that information on their signature are more open to being contacted?
I would think so. I
than
think
those you have
know
to discern.
What that means. Yeah. I mean,
because there are some techies that do that.
Exactly.
They put everything out there, and it appears as if they're.
Yeah, okay.
Looking to be found.
Fine.
Sure. I mean, they would know better if they didn't want it to be found.
Right. I got a different question. What percentage of your work is done on job boards? I was quite surprised to find that the internet sorcerers, according to Jeremy Langens, do a lot of work just tediously scanning these job boards.
Not me. It's been a while that I have not looked at a job board.
Why is that?
Because I am just so involved with the social networks.
So talk about that. You're finding people on the social networks?
Oh, yeah.
What, strictly LinkedIn or are these other ones as well?
Well, LinkedIn obviously is my
favorite. Like I saw you say LinkedIn is awesome.
Yeah, it is my favorite. I have a pro account, so this is not for everybody, but I am able to in-mail people, which means I'm connecting with them possibly through their personal email address, so I'm not intruding on their company email address. And I just reach out to them with a very simple, is this good timing to discuss an opportunity?
Mm-hmm.
If so, please get back to me. And that's
you
it.
Know what? My experience with the in-mail is not very positive.
Really?
What's your percentage of returns on on in-mail?
I have at least 90%.
Now, let me ask you something. Just like Jeremy Langens, who works with a small networking company, small in quotation marks, you work with a worldwide professional services firm. Does that brand name open a lot of doors for you?
Yes.
Okay.
That's probably why, too.
So should I put a name like that at the end of my name that pretend to be with one of those companies?
Well, why would you pretend?
No, okay. I've done work for that company on contract as well. So.
Oh, okay, good. But yeah, it does. It opens it definitely. If it was just me and my old, executive search firm, they'd probably go, whatever.
Okay.
So that's true.
Okay.
Yeah.
Harry, anything you'd like to bring in at this point?
No, it's a fascinating discussion.
Is it? What's
it's interesting how many how nobody says that, these tools are bad. Everybody says, each tool is good for its own little application. It's almost like a discussion about golf clubs, Sand wedge isn't great for every single shot, but when you need a sand wedge, it's invaluable, right? A putter does something completely different than a driver, et cetera. And I don't know. It's a very interesting conversation.
But it's confusing for you, right?
No. I've had very good luck with LinkedIn. Unbelievable luck with LinkedIn.
Uh-huh.
And I'll tell you that the easiest way to, triple your response rate with LinkedIn is to pick up the phone.
Oh, yeah. But these
if I see somebody's name associated with a company, I'm going to call. Sometimes, this makes me sound really weird, like a stalker, very aggressive. But, I've been known to combine Argali with LinkedIn. So if I know that, Steve Waddick is in, Madison, Wisconsin, and I can't get him to answer his phone at the office, but he's got the background I'm looking for.
Okay, I got to cut in, and here's why. I didn't realize that the conversation is so exciting. We've only got 8 minutes left, and somebody keeps messaging me here, when are you going to start fighting with her, right? But she's unprovocable. What can I say? Now, I had a bunch of and secrets of how to analyze a resume that I wanted to run by you. They're from Philly Phil Wilson. I saw them on ERE, and I don't know if they're all good. And I really wanted to ask you about peer regression analysis, et cetera. But Amy Beth wants you to tell us something about the contest, the contest that you won, SourceCon Challenge number 2. Now, the reason I haven't asked you about it is I read through, and I spent a lot of time reading through your explanation of how you won it, and I don't understand it more after finishing than when I started, right? There's so many illogical steps to it that why did you do that? I don't see why you did it, right? So we can't really run through it here. We'll spend the whole hour, and no one will remember where we started by the time we get to the end.
Just go to the blog.
No, what do you want to say about that? I'm going to give you a chance, though, to make a statement. I know you put on your resume that it was very hard with 3 exclamation marks, and it did look hard to me.
Well, I had never seen this kind of, puzzle in my life, and I guess I was really thinking that it was geared more towards what I do on a daily basis versus being really, going out there into a maze and finding clues that, first up, there's all the spelling mistakes.
So let me ask you a question. This is the question I'll ask about the contest. I asked Jeremy Langens as well, does it relate in any way to your daily work as an internet researcher? Even if it's not direct, does it indicate something about you that really qualifies you to be a good internet researcher?
Basically, it was a test to see if you could read between the lines and explore different avenues to get to the answers and quickly, right? Because time was of the essence. So, we could have gone on for weeks if I didn't get that first clue, which was very helpful. And it kind of puts to the
test. Let me ask you a question. Why didn't you find the mole? because you said that would have sped things up.
Yeah.
You said two things I didn't understand, and this is strictly for people who know the contest. You said you shouldn't have spent time trying to figure out who the mole was, even though if you found her, it would have helped you.
Right. Okay, and I know who the mole was after the contest.
Yeah, but why didn't you – why do you think it was a waste of time?
Well, because I have a little bit of a bone of contention with the SourceCon folks, because the profiles that they gave as options did match the profile of the gal who's the mole, and I know her. So I was like, I would have
okay,
never.
So that was a flaw. That was a flaw in the contest. Is that what
you're
saying?
I would have to say, yeah.
Okay, so finally we got something a bit controversial here. They didn't put the contest together as well as everybody thinks. You know, I was thinking these guys are geniuses.
Well, what didn't match?
They had a mole. They had to find a mole who would give them a major clue, and it was, according to Susie, and, you know, I might get her in trouble at the convention, says that the clues were no good. They really didn't
Well,
point
what
you.
Did not match, Susie?
There was a couple of background, like, professions and skill sets that I know that the mole, this gal, has, and looking at her LinkedIn profile did not match the options that we had. So, I mean, it was... There was I would never put two and two together on that one, for example. And so if I had found her and called her up, she would have given me the name of David Clark, which was the guy on LinkedIn, which led you to everything else. So
end of discussion. I got 4 minutes left. I feel I've missed something. I feel I haven't gotten to everything. What am I missing? I don't really know Susie Tanini.
That's okay.
No, it isn't. That's why you're on this show. I want to know what makes you a good internet researcher. And you haven't told me. You just happened into it. You were working with sharks before. You're working in Paris at the New York Times. All of a sudden you're a researcher just because you like finding stuff.
Right. Well,
that's it.
And I do that pretty well. I'm fast. I'm intuitive. I'm diligent. I'm a team player. I share.
Yeah. Everybody's got that stuff on their resume. Would your mother be surprised that you turned out to be an internet researcher?
No.
Or would she say, "Oh, Susie was always like that"?
Susie was always like that.
Really? What would she say? Did you have those Russian dolls where one was inside the other or something like that?
I did, actually. My parents lived in Moscow.
See, I told you her parents were suspicious.
My parents are happily retired right now. Yeah, I mean, I've always been curious. I always kind of, like, veered away from my parents and got lost looking for stuff just because I felt like doing it and I would get in trouble because I
curiouser.
Yeah, okay, here's a question. We're coming to the end. Since Amy Beth raised it before, is that a normal trait for a little girl, or were you a tomboy or something like that, or are you good at mathematics? Like, I'm trying to figure out how could we spot a good internet sourcer? What would you look for in hiring somebody? What questions would you ask?
Well, let's see. First off, do you like to read fast? Do you like technologies? Are you curious about things? Are you a team player? I mean, do you have to have all these things in one package? And then others, obviously, ability to learn fast. Basically, I would have to put that in writing here, all the questions I would ask somebody. But, you know, do you use the networks and stuff like that? I've hired some people for my company, and if they didn't really know what LinkedIn was, I really couldn't hire them as a researcher. So, you know.
Michael, I know you know this, but I think she said that one of the biggest clues was that she was an introvert.
Yep, there you go.
Okay, let's close on that. Tell me, why, Maureen, why is that the case?
An introvert?
They can't succeed socially, so they have to figure things out on their own?
Well, I think they can succeed socially. You probably have different degrees of introverts. You have socially gracious introverts. You have introverts. And you probably need somebody that's a socially gracious and graceful introvert who can turn
charm.
Well, that charm, but their ability
I have to cut it short. She did say that she does reach out to people for help, right?
Exactly.
Okay, that was an interesting observation, Maureen. It looks like we're going to go out on a quiet note, though, the introverted note, right?
Oh, well.
No big bang. I'm not going to say, I wanted to give everyone the key and say, this is how you identify a super sourcer or a researcher, right? Because obviously you're a super sourcer. I can't believe that you solved that problem, that contest. I thought I'd understand it this morning, but I don't. Has anyone else read it? Any final comments from anybody else? We're going to wrap up. Susie, do you have a quote or a cliche that you'd like to share with everybody?
I was just interested in what you said, that I appeared in the sponsored links when you searched.
Oh, yeah, name. Okay. When I put the last thing then. When I put Susie Tonini into Google, you came up in – you're on, like, every social network, but your name –
probably your name's profile.
Your name's profile and your Zicky.com came up as sponsored links.
Huh, interesting. Okay.
You didn't put
I didn't
them
do
there.
That. I didn't even know.
Very interesting. Okay, well, now you know. Susie, thank you very much for coming on.
Thanks, Susie.
I have to apologize. That's by Peter Himmelman. Anyone know who Peter Himmelman is?
No, but
Bob
go
Dylan's
on.
Son. He's Bob Dylan's son-in-law. And on that happy note, thank you very much. Goodbye.
Thank you. Bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.